This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show here on your home for SKC Soccer Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Nate Bucati, joined as always by the one and only El Jefe Carter Augustine. Good evening, Carter. How are you?
Good evening, Nate. Yeah, doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You got All-Star Fever.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Yep, ready to go. The homegrown game tonight. Should see a couple of young Sporting KC prospects in that one. That's exciting. And yeah, definitely excited for the All-Star game as well.
Juan Cousin, Juan Kamal, and Jalen Lindsey, both involved in this Futures game tonight, the homegrown game tonight, and then tomorrow night, of course, the MLS All-Stars taking on Juventus. Tonight, the homegrown playing the U-20s for Tigres. So, I don't know about you. I think even earlier this week, you and I were chatting. I generally don't get myself too pumped up for the All-Star game. I typically have a club-centric view of thinking, oh, this is just another thing to throw at our players right in the middle of a tough season when we got crucial games coming up. But as it draws nearer, I get a little more excited for it. I get excited to watch the homegrown players play tonight, particularly the SKC guys. And then you kind of pointed it out to me that this is a showcase for MLS when it comes to one of the biggest clubs in the world in Juventus. People from around the world will actually tune in and watch this because of that. And what really started to hit me watching some of the coverage is they're going to tune in and they're going to see 70,000 people in Atlanta. And you and I have been there firsthand to witness that atmosphere. I don't see how anybody will come away with anything but impressed with American soccer culture when they tune in to see that tomorrow night. And that gets me kind of excited.
Yeah, it is exciting. And it's a big party and a chance to, like you said, showcase MLS to the rest of the world. And maybe that doesn't matter to some people, but I know that television contracts have a huge impact on leagues. And we've seen what huge foreign TV contracts have done for the Premier League. And, you know, hopefully MLS and U.S. soccer can start making a little bit more money off selling the rights abroad. And I think this is a huge step forward. But I think you and others do have a good qualm with just the timing of the game. It seems to always come at a bad time for club teams. And I don't know if there's a way around it. Maybe do it during the playoffs, you know, during that break in between the conference semifinals and conference finals, and kind of like the Pro Bowl. If you've made it to the conference finals, then you're okay. You don't play. But I don't know. Maybe do it at the end of the season, and then you can alleviate those fears of all the injuries and stuff that can happen in a soccer game.
There's all sorts of challenges with the soccer, the global soccer calendar. Big reason that this is happening at this time of year is because this is when the big clubs come over to the United States for their publicity tours, and they're available to play. And that it has been one of the aspects of the game that has drawn attention. If MLS East versus West All-Stars were taking place, I'm not sure how many people in Europe would be watching, but there's a lot of Juventus fans around the world, and they're excited to get their season started. Even if some of their biggest name players aren't here, they're going to tune in because Juventus is playing in a highly publicized competition, and it gets the eyes. And I can speak from my own personal experience. I really came into my full-fledged MLS fandom in 2006, right after that World Cup year. This is following a World Cup year, and I went to Denver, Colorado, because I wanted to see Celtic play against the MLS All-Stars. And to be honest, there was not a lot of buzz. I mean, it's a lot like when you go to Colorado for a Rapids game. Sadly, these days, there's just not a lot of buzz in town about it. Whereas you go to Atlanta for a regular season game, we've commented on it, there's an incredible amount of buzz for just a regular season game. So I do think that is going to be great. It's going to be a really cool atmosphere. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'll add one more thing to it. You mentioned the foreign television contracts and the how lucrative that can be for the league, and that can be important in terms of bringing in players. I still think that anytime you can show players from other countries the best side of what MLS soccer can present when it comes to investment, facilities, atmosphere, the quality of play, that just makes it that much more attractive for a player to say, you know what, that's a good spot for me. That league is not a bad place for me to go. And hopefully that's the kind of thing maybe some guys from Juventus see this, experience it, they go back, they tell other guys in the league, they tell their friends, and that word of mouth continues to grow. I think it's already grown immensely in MLS over the last 5 to 6 years, but I don't see how this can do anything but help that cause as well.
Yeah, you would think with how well Atlanta has done most of their stuff that Juventus and everyone will come away super impressed from this game. And I remember 2013 here in Kansas City, I felt like Roma left very impressed with the culture, and it was a big party. You had the concerts, you know, Silver Sun Pickups and Macklemore down in Power and Light, and it was a wonderful game as well. And I think it can go a long ways in terms of leaving an impression on maybe some people that don't know a whole lot about MLS. And then on the field, it can be really fun as well. That game in Kansas City was just a blast to watch Thierry Henry go out there, and I feel like he's the type of guy that is made for All-Star games because he gives it the flair that it deserves. And so I'm hoping there'll be some guys out there that do that as well tomorrow. I would expect so. I remember Almiron last year was explosive coming off against Real Madrid. So hopefully there'll be a couple more guys that can really dazzle and excite the crowd.
Yeah, coming up on the show, by the way, we're going to talk with Ilie Sanchez, who is in Atlanta for the All-Star game. He's going to join us in the next segment, so we'll get his thoughts on playing in a game like that. I just remember looking at it in the game in 2013 thinking Roma looked like a team that's played together a little bit, and the MLS All-Stars looked like a hodgepodge of guys that just got thrown together to play a game. It just wasn't quite that organization, but it hasn't always looked that way. There have been other performances by the MLS All-Stars against Bayern Munich, for example. They've shown themselves incredibly well, so I am a little interested to see what they look like against Juventus tomorrow night. And I think, boy, you talk about players with flair. That's what this league's all about right now. I mean, all the money's getting spent on the attacking side, and we're seeing goals being scored all over this league. There should be some players with some flair on the field tomorrow night.
Yeah, you'd think so. You've got it's a pretty star-studded roster in terms of what's going on. They got two chains down there performing as well. I think he already performed, so I missed out on that one, I guess. But it should be a fun one.
Well, we'll get more into the All-Star game coming up. As I mentioned, Ilie is going to join us on the show, but this is the Sporting Kansas City show, so let's talk some SKC soccer right now as well. And it's kind of a painful subject right now because the team's in a rough spot. They've gone through their toughest stretch of the season so far when it comes to results. A 3-2 loss at home to the leaders in the Western Conference, FC Dallas. It really feels like an opportunity lost to gain some ground in the Western Conference. Not only that, falling down another rung down to fifth place in the Western Conference standings after what is now a 5-match winless streak in MLS play, 6 matches overall, only one draw out of those 6 matches as well. So it's a rough spot for Sporting Kansas City right now. What do you make of it, and what did you make of the tough result on Saturday night against FC Dallas?
Yeah, I thought they played better than they had been playing for those previous 5 games or so. They came out of the weekend break, and I thought for large stretches of the game they controlled the game, but it was some individual errors that really cost the team, and kind of uncharacteristic errors as well. So I think that's going to be really disheartening for the team that they actually did play well. 16 shots against FC Dallas. That's not too bad of a tally. And in the first half, especially, it was a pretty mucked up game. There was a lot of fouls, and it was getting pretty chippy as well.
Very CONCACAF-y.
It was. Yeah, it was. And FC Dallas has that about them. They can really put that into the games that they play. And I thought, for the most part, Sporting Kansas City responded well, but you know, they just couldn't quite keep the game at a place where they could go out and control it. And once they equalized and Dallas ramped up the pressure again, and them getting that goal immediately on the back of that, I think was a killer for sure, because it looked like Sporting was gonna ramp it up and get that home result. But it's tough to figure out right now, right? I mean, maybe some of the guys coming back will shake off a little bit of that rust as well, having not played for a while. But just those individual errors were really tough, and they're tough to legislate for as well.
Yeah, I think the individual errors is the is the key phrase right now for this team when it comes to most of these results. Look, I set the Houston Dynamo Open Cup game aside a little bit because to me that's the outlier where, you know, Peter Vermees questioned the character of a couple of players. One of those players we believe, if we're drawing the connection, has already basically been sent away. That was a U.S. Open Cup game. That was a game with a different lineup because of some injuries and other issues. I set that one on the side a little bit. These MLS games, particularly the last couple, I look at the results and I kind of feel like in both games, they did enough good things to win at New York Red Bulls. So it was very disheartening to have a 2-1 lead in that game, and I thought they went toe-to-toe with the Red Bulls. And in the second half, you have a 2-1 lead. You expect this type of Sporting Kansas City team to close it out. They give up two goals that were really good strikes, but also too much space for a player, what they call zone 14, right at the top of the D. That's not an area that Sporting have a tendency to give up space. And then this game, as you mentioned, look, it was a 50-50 game. It was a really hard-fought, good game that looked like two of the best teams in the Western Conference until all of a sudden, out of nothing, it was an individual mistake. You know, I don't think Aiko Parra would run from that. I think he pretty much held up his hand after the game and owned that one. And then, like you said, they score the goal to level it. And I think everybody in the stadium at that point thought, okay, here we go. We've seen Sporting Kansas City in this situation before, and they're going to add at least one more, if not two. But then there was another mistake, and you know, the ball got, you know, Barrios got the step on Ike, but I think Tamelia would tell you he shouldn't have come out for that one in terms of the angle of where that ball was, put himself in a bad spot. And it's just like it's a mistake that comes while you're playing well, and it seems like they just have to find a way to eliminate those one or two mistakes in a game, and all would be right with the world. And I guess maybe getting that fixed is easier said than done.
Yeah, and I mean, credit to FC Dallas, and especially Michael Barrios. He was a handful the entire game.
He was.
And it was an interesting tactical move to put him up top and allow what's-his-face, just Arruti, just forgot
Maxi,
his name.
Maxi Arruti.
Allow Arruti to kind of float in around behind him. And then oftentimes Arruti was man-marking Ilie, which I thought was a pretty decent tactic as well. If you're looking at Sporting KC, try and limit the amount of touches he gets. And then credit to them for the response when Sporting KC equalized, because they had kind of dropped off before then. And then right when Sporting equalized, they ramped it right back up. And like you said, got the out ball. But yeah, it's tough to legislate for those type of errors, and when you play well, I think it makes it even harder. And so I think another thing that stands out is just how similar the two goals were as well, just a straight ball down the middle. And so that I think that's going to really stick in the craw for this team.
For me, it's a simple case of, and this sounds like when you tune into the Sporting Kansas City show, you probably want much deeper analysis than this, but sometimes to me it's as simple as they just need to win. They need to win a game and relax, because I see a team right now that guys are maybe pressing a little bit. Guys are maybe sometimes trying to make up for each pass with each ball they play, stop the now 6-game unbeaten or winless streak. And I think, you know, Tim coming out for that ball is a good example. It's like, you know, you're in goal. You feel like you need to make something happen. You need to do something to help the team. And sometimes you just got to sit back and let things happen the way that that you normally do, and trust your teammates. And I just think they're thinking a lot on the field. And that, I think, in any sport happens when things aren't going well. You start to question the things you do. You're maybe not quite as decisive in some of the things that you do. And you go get a result, and you get things headed back in the right direction. And I just think that there's enough pedigree on this team that these guys have shown they can play better than what they have. And it just seems like they just need a result to go their way in order to kind of relax and get back to business.
Yeah, it does seem like that. And I agree that they've shown that they can play better. And you're just waiting for this team to put both of those pieces together. They're scoring a ton of goals this year, and you're waiting for that to combine with how great defensively they've been over the past 4 or 5 seasons. And we saw that for a little stretch there, right after the Colorado game, where they dropped the two goals early, and then and pretty much from then on, we're fantastic defensively. Like to see them, you know, get back to that a little bit. But they're starting to get some guys healthy, guys back. Seeing Felipe Gutierrez get a run out from the start was good. And so I think that will help as well, maybe knock a little bit of that rust off and get going. But you're right, maybe they're pressing a little bit because it's getting nitty-gritty time in the West. I mean, 10 teams are still in this thing, and now Seattle's making a little run. They're in 10th place, and they're 7 points behind Sporting at the moment. And so, yeah, the pressure's getting a lot more intense now as we're heading into the middle of August. And for Sporting, the schedule doesn't get easier either. So we'll see, you know, if this pressure can make some diamonds.
Yeah, it's a tough stretch coming up at Houston. Houston's in a bad run of form right now, but nobody in Kansas City needs to be told about how difficult of a place Houston is to play. Then at LAFC, they got their eyes on first place in the West right now, and then at home against the Portland Timbers, who can make a claim for being the best team in the West at this point as well. So it's tough, but I'll look at it on the positive side. You mentioned the pressure's getting there. This rough patch happens in the middle of the season. The money's going to be made in what happens over the last 2 months of MLS regular season. I mean, the calendar is turning to August, and August and September and into early October is going to be where this Western Conference is decided. Like you said, it is so tight from 10th place to first place that, yeah, FC Dallas have a little bit of a cushion, but outside of that, everything seems to be up for grabs right now. And so that means the opportunity is still there. If you get this thing turned around and you can actually save your best soccer for last, which Sporting haven't done the last few years, you can still accomplish all the things that you set out to accomplish, but you got to get it started soon. Coming up on the show, as I mentioned, we're going to visit with Ilie Sanchez, who is in Atlanta with the All-Star team. He and Graham Zusi playing there tomorrow night. We've also got news to go over. A lot of updates on the injury front for Sporting Kansas City coming out of training today. We'll run down those for you. Reports out of Catalonia. That's how you say it, right? Catalonia?
Yeah. Nicely done.
Possible transfer news for Sporting Kansas City. We'll give you what we know on that. Nothing confirmed by the club or reported by the club at this point in that regard, but there's still a couple of weeks left in the transfer window. And also a first for MLS, for Sporting Kansas City. Their youngest ever MLS debut took place in this game against FC Dallas. We'll talk about Gianluca Busio as well. That's all coming up. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are very pleased to be joined on the phones now by Sporting Kansas City All-Star. Sounds pretty good to say. Ilie Sanchez, who is in Atlanta getting ready for tomorrow night's All-Star game. Good evening, Ilie. How are you?
Good evening. I'm fine. How are you, Nate?
Doing well. How does that sound to hear? All-Star, Ilie.
I mean, I'm glad that you say Sporting Kansas City All-Star, because I just take this as a gift for the work that we are doing as a team. So means nothing, obviously, All-Star to me, but means a lot when it comes from the work that we are doing as a team in the Sporting.
Ilie, you're down there with Graham Zusi as well. You two are the two representing Sporting Kansas City. How has it been so far down in Atlanta, all the festivities, and what have you done so far?
We are both doing good. We just got here Sunday night, also with Tosh, one of our trainers. He comes with us to help in our recoveries, and also he's been on trainings watching us. So we are both doing good. We had training yesterday morning. We had training this morning, and now we are resting for tomorrow.
Is that a challenge for you? I know this All-Star game is something that's unique to the United States and to Major League Soccer compared to other leagues. To play a game like this in the middle of the week when you're also in the middle of the season, how much of a challenge is that for you to keep your body healthy and rested so that you're ready to rejoin the team?
Well, it's a big party. I think it's one of the most important moments for soccer here in America when this game comes. And, of course, it was never a goal for me but it's what it is, and I'm happy to be here. So I'm just trying to enjoy the experience. It also comes into a tough moment for us in Sporting as a team. And maybe I can take this break. We can take Zeus and I this break to bring new vibes to the team on Thursday once we will be back.
Well, we could talk about Sporting in a little bit as well, but I'm curious, just the fun activities that you guys are doing down there.
Yeah.
Did I get to see, were you at the Weather Channel with Alexi Lawless? And how was that?
Yeah, so we are doing appearances and we are doing some activities. We just missed the concert Sunday night. We were both tired and we just got to all the rooms. But then yesterday was a pretty busy day. We had training, and after that, I went to an MLS photo shooting, also with Sporting clothes. And after that, I went to, you know, some stores to be with people who was there. And I think just went to a big MLS event with the commissioner. So, I mean, it's new to be involved in MLS events because we used to do it for Sporting, but it has been fun. And today the activities are less than yesterday, and I hope tomorrow we will not have to do anything else.
Yeah, let's just focus on the game tomorrow. I want to ask you about that. You're playing against one of the biggest clubs in the world in Juventus. I know that a lot of their star players might not necessarily be there tomorrow night, but still, it's the club Juventus. I'm sure you've watched them in some way your whole life. Tell me what that experience will be like for you to be on the field playing against them tomorrow night.
So we just met them yesterday in this welcome event that we did yesterday night. It reminds me kind of when I was a young player for Barca, and we went with the first team to some of the tours or some of the friendly games, where we had not all the players, but the majority of the players, and also young players. So it was a mix that I expect also tomorrow. That makes that Juventus, as we were when I was in Barcelona, it's going to have a high level with this mix of experienced players and top players in the world, and also young players that want to show the best in the first team.
So did you play in a lot of games like that for Barcelona when you were coming up in their system?
Maybe not as big as this event, because, you know, Juventus is playing against this maybe a selection of the MLS players, but we had, I played many games against teams that for them were that friendly game was the day in their year. So, I played many games, but not as big as tomorrow games.
Ilya, I think I was seeing that you're one of the first All-Stars from the Catalan region. Are you getting any attention back home for this All-Star game? And does that mean anything at all to you?
Yes. You know, I'm not the first Spanish player, but I'm the first Catalan player. So I'm proud of that. You know that I feel Catalonia as a country, and also people from there contact me and try to know more about this party, this soccer party that is having tomorrow here in Atlanta. And, I try to explain my best to make them feel what I'm feeling. And for me, it's a good opportunity also to show in my country what I am doing here in the United States.
Hey, Ilya, sometimes we're having a tough time hearing you. I don't know if your phone is getting far away from your mouth, but if you... if you're talking straight into it, I think we can hear you a little bit better, okay?
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, that sounds a lot better there. Thank you.
Sorry.
That's
yeah.
Okay. We'll keep this going here. So, Ilya, you mentioned earlier that maybe for you and Graham, this is a chance to get away from things and come back with some new vibes for the team. Let's talk about how things are going for Sporting right now. Yes, we know you guys are in a rough patch at this point, but it feels like to me that all it's going to take is a good result to kind of snap you guys out of it and get back on the right path. How do you feel about what it's going to take to get things headed back in the right direction for Sporting right now?
We were talking with Zeus yesterday, and we both say the same. We need to put everything we have just for the next game. And we don't have to think about anything else than get the result in Houston. So for us, I'm not saying that it's a good break or it's good to be away from home, but I think that we can bring a different mentality on Thursday, and I hope that also my teammates and obviously Peter, they're doing the job back in Kansas City. So we will be ready, and I think that once we get the result in Houston, we will be able to work with a little less anxiety than maybe we are doing it this few weeks ago.
Yeah, and as you said, the next one up is Houston, and you're playing them for the third time in just about a month and a half or so. Is it different to play a team so many times in such a short space of time?
When you come from a loss, like what happened in the U.S. Open Cup, I think that the mentality, I mean, we will be ready. I don't know why, but when you come from a loss, you always want to show that you didn't deserve it. So we know them, they know us. And I think it's going to be a good soccer game, and I hope that we can be the winning team.
We're visiting with Ilya, who's in Atlanta for the All-Star game tomorrow night, but then, of course, he's coming right back to get ready for the trip down to Houston, Texas, to take on the Dynamo on Saturday night. And Ilya, when we talk about the struggles of late for the team as well, obviously the defensive record is the biggest concern right now when you look at allowing some goals that I think you guys don't normally allow. I know it's more complicated than to boil it down to just one thing or another. But as you look at it, maybe what are some of the fixes that you guys can put in to get back to having that great goal-scoring record that you had a year ago?
Yes, I mean, everybody knows that Sporting, we have been a team that was one of the best defensively in the league. So, but also, I have to say that when we didn't have a good offensive record and we could not score as many goals as this year, the defenders were supporting the attackers. So we are a team. We cannot say that we are having problems defensively because our defense. It's just that we need to be back to our style, and we defend with the ball. Mm-hmm. It's all what we need to do and all what we know. So, yeah, it's kind of frustrating sometimes, but I think that if we go back to our priorities, we will start seeing again our identity.
Ilya, we'll let you go here in a minute. I know you've been very busy down in Atlanta. So my last question for you is, do you ever trade jerseys with an opponent after a game? And will you ask for a Juventus shirt tomorrow night?
Yes, I did. I used to trade the jersey with players that I played with in the past, or a few times. I did it with a player that I really liked how he played against me. I mean, I don't used to do it, but I don't know. I didn't think about asking for a Juventus jersey, but if after the game I'm happy and someone comes to me, maybe I will ask him for the jersey.
My last question, Ilya, can we call Tosh an all-star now too, since he's down there with you guys?
Yes, for sure. Tosh has been our all-star, so yeah, I think that all of them and the club, they are being so they've been good with us, and I think that we need having here touch with us, because it's also a face that we know, and he's taking care of us. So yeah, you can call All-Star Touch. So next time you see him.
We will. We absolutely will. And we're glad that he's there with you and Graham. You know, we hope he's giving you guys better treatment than all the other players. That's what we hope.
not. I mean, I have to say that I think one or two more teams that they brought a person to take care about their players. So, I mean, that means a lot from where we come from and the organization that we have in Kansas City.
Well, Ilya, we're really proud of you. We're excited for you to represent MLS and Sporting Kansas City along with Graham tomorrow night against Juventus. Have a lot of fun, and then good luck down in Houston, Texas as well. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. That is Ilya, who is in Atlanta for the All-Star Game tomorrow night. We'll take a break back after this with more of the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Well, the news is coming in hot and heavy around Sporting Kansas City on this Tuesday as we air the show today, the day before the All-Star Game, with the transfer window still open for a couple more weeks. Nate Bucchetti along with Carter Augustine with you. And Carter, we'll start on the transfer front. There's injury updates for Sporting Kansas City as well. But the biggest news, and look, you know that I do a morning show, so I'm up early and bright and early this morning, there was a report coming out from Catalonia. And I don't know. I know that you speak a little Catalan, right?
No.
You don't?
No.
Didn't you live over there for a while?
I lived in the Basque region.
Oh, you
so
didn't
I
live
speak
in...
a little okay. Euskera.
Okay.
No, that's not true. I don't speak any of that either.
Okay. Do you speak any Spanish? I mean, well, how are we... You lived there, man.
Yeah. Pretty pathetic.
So I... My Spanish is at a completely remedial level, but the article came out from eldesmarque.com that basically says that there is a player that is playing for Celta de Vigo in La Liga who is destined for Sporting Kansas City. I haven't run it through the Google Translator, but from what I could take from the article, It claims that this player is a done deal to come to Sporting Kansas City. His name is Andreu Fontas. He is a former Barcelona Academy product and played for Barcelona B for a couple of seasons. Would have been there at the exact same time as Ilya Sanchez for two of those years. And then has spent the last 5 years with Celta de Vigo. Now, that report says basically that it's a done deal. The way I read it says that he's wanted to come to the United States and play for some time, and that Celta de Vigo is cool with it. They would be parting on good terms if this happened. Sam McDowell of the Kansas City Star has a source telling him that the deal is not done. There are formalities to work through, he says, financial and otherwise, before an agreement is reached, despite the report in Spain that the deal has been completed. But the two sides are moving in a positive direction. And Sam says, quote, the Star sources expects an agreement before the close of the summer transfer window on August 8th and possibly as soon as the end of the week. He's a left-footed center back, Carter Augustine, and they, Sporting Kansas City, just said goodbye to a center back in Emiliano Amor. Your thoughts on this news? We don't know if it's going to happen yet. Nothing certainly is official, at least from Sporting Kansas City side of things, but what do you make of it?
Yeah, I think I'll save, you know, commenting on the player until someone actually does arrive. But I think with what you just said, them saying goodbye pretty much to Emiliano Amor, which is also what Sam McDowell reported last week or the week before, that they will have had to have been looking for a center back in this window when you leave the fact that it's now Graham Smith and Amir Jidic as your two backups to Ike Opara and Matt Beisler. And it's been a season where you've seen those two guys miss some time as well. Those two guys aren't getting any younger. So I'm not surprised at all that they would be looking for a third center back, are you?
No, not whatsoever. In fact, one of the comments that I was going to make when we talked earlier about the struggles of the team, I know that all the attention has been on whether or not Sporting Kansas City are going to bring in a striker during this transfer window. And look, there have been people within the club that have talked about the need to get a striker. Obviously, the fans have talked about it a lot. Peter Vermes has been asked about it a lot from last offseason until now. So I get that, and I'm not trying to minimize that. But as Sam McDowell pointed out, this team's on a record-breaking goal-scoring pace. Maybe most of those goals aren't coming from the number nine position, but the attack doesn't seem to be the problem right now. Defense does. Now, does a signing like this, if it happens, does that solve your problems? I don't know. I don't know that this guy, if he's signed, pushes, you know, Opara or Beisler out, but we have to remember that this six-game stretch in which they've been leaking goals, there have been injuries to Ike Opara and to Matt Beisler, and they've struggled to cover those injuries. And so even if it's from a depth standpoint the rest of the year, that is something I think that is vitally important for this team. The reports are there, so I'll at least, you know, give background on the player. I mentioned the fact that he comes up through the Barcelona system and played Barcelona B for quite some time. He's been in La Liga. He's got experience. I think that's something that those other players you mentioned did not have.
Yeah.
So that could be a positive. And look, we talk a lot of times about style and how difficult it is to bring in a guy in the summer transfer window to step right in and be able to play, because there's all kinds of adjustments that need to take place. What we've also seen is that Sporting Kansas City have been able to bring in some guys that have come up through the Barcelona system and acclimate them fairly quickly, because there is such a similarity in the system and the style of play. So maybe if this is a player that they really are close to signing, that could be something that can make the transition a little bit easier for him when he gets here.
Yeah, you would think. And by all accounts, he's a ball-playing center half as well, so you'd think that would suit him well for this team that likes to keep the ball and likes to pass it. So, I think that does make sense. They've gone to that La Masia well a few times, and obviously it's turned out a couple of really good gems in Uri Rossell and Ilie. So I think they would be definitely looking to add on to that. And he's left-footed as well, and I think that adds credence to the rumors, because how many lefties has Peter Vermes brought in over the past year or two? But you wonder if, you know, may, I don't know, I'm just speculating, could he play left back in a pinch? Who knows? Could they now be more comfortable going to a three center back setup if they did sign a guy like this? Maybe. So we'll have to keep an eye out and see if he comes in. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them try and strengthen after all the issues they've had with injuries throughout this summer.
Yeah, and again, we'll have to wait to see how all that shakes out if and when this player comes to Sporting Kansas City. Again, according to the club, nothing's finalized. They're in pursuit of multiple targets right now, and they don't have anything to announce at this point. But look, the reports have been published in two different outlets now, so we'll at least give you what information is being put out there, and we'll see. The three center back thing is interesting to me, though, just because where does Ilie fit if that happens? And we did see it a couple of times so far this year, and he played, so maybe, but he just seems so perfectly tailor-made for that 4-3-3 system. It's hard for me to picture it, but again,
he's had a little bit more offensive aspect to his game,
I would say,
this year especially. Yeah. So, you wouldn't expect them to, or Peter Vermes, to switch on any type of permanent basis away from that 4-3-3, but yeah, just another option, perhaps. Like you said, we have seen it this year a little bit. So, you know, you wonder if that guy would help out in that sense. But another, you know, La Masia prospect getting back into training today, Lobato. So, That's good news for Sporting Kansas City as well. We'll see if he could...
Another left-footed player,
and we'll see maybe he can factor in over these next coming weeks as well, because I thought he was kind of getting into a little bit of a groove there before he went down with injury as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think he was fitting in, and we talk about that because some of those summer transfers have taken a little bit more time. A lot of times they have taken... It's been that second year that they've really taken off, and it looked like he was starting to get into a groove, and then the double knee injury hit, and so it's good to see that he's back in training. Now, other news on the injury front, Sam McDowell tweeting out today, the results of Jimmy Madronda's MRI last week showed progress, but only minimal. He's a long way from a potential return. I expect Sporting KC will look to bring in a left back this window. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. Yeah. And I think that's really tough news to take, that Jimmy Madronda could be out for even longer term, because I just think he was primed for another great year for Sporting Kansas City and really was starting to make that left back position his own.
Yeah, I think this injury has kind of gone under the radar for some reason. It was just the way it happened and how, you know, he got subbed off in the Minnesota game and then just kind of dissolved into the background. And I think that was a huge injury. And like you said, he had just kind of been making that left back position his own, but also he's so versatile, as is Christian Lobato. Those two guys kind of the two utility men for this team, right? And they can play along all three lines, really. But when Madronda goes down, now you've lost another option in midfield, and in a pinch he could have played out on the left, you know, up top. And I don't know, I just feel like he was playing so well that that injury has really caused some havoc on the team that has maybe gone a little bit unnoticed or untalked about.
Yeah, and a lot of people pointed out the record when Jimmy Madronda was in there, and particularly in goals conceded compared to since he's been hurt. So that is significant news from Sam McDowell there. Now, on the positive side, he also tweeted out, Kyrie Shelton is a little ahead of schedule. He's likely 4 to 6 weeks away from a return. And when you look at the calendar, on the most optimistic end, that would put him in line to be back by the start of September. And if you want to look at it, with September 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, that would be 9 matches remaining in the regular season at that point. That's not insignificant. That's a couple of months left in the season, even if it's halfway through the month of September. And the record with Kyrie Shelton on the field this year is pretty sparkling for Sporting Kansas City as well. So I do think that's significant to see that he's maybe a little ahead of progress.
Yeah, and there's a lot of games there that you mentioned in September to ideally be able to allow him to get a little bit of a run out and get his wheels turning again before what you would think would be a push into the playoffs. And so I agree. I think that's good news. If he can get a few games in the regular season, then he could really be an impact player in the playoffs.
Well, if you want to talk about the end of the season, the final month, starting September 30th, we'll call it, all games against the Western Conference, at home against Real Salt Lake, at home against the LA Galaxy, at the Vancouver Whitecaps, second last game of the season, the Hall of Fame game at FC Dallas, and then at home against LAFC. I mean, you want to talk about what will probably be a crucial stretch for this team. Those are all 6-pointers in the conference, and you get those guys back, you get Kyrie Shelton back. I think that could be significant. Now, no mention of Jimmy Madronda. If it's a longer-term thing there, and you're talking about, is he going to be back this season? But for Kyrie Shelton, I think that is certainly good news, and so we're happy to see that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to look forward to this game against the Houston Dynamo, plus talk about the youngest debut for a Sporting Kansas City player, Gianluca Busio, who came on at the end of that game against the Houston Dynamo. We'll talk about how he performed as well. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back to wrap things up on another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for Sporting KC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, Nate Bucati along with Carter Augustine. And coming up, another big matchup in the Western Conference, Sporting at the Houston Dynamo, 8 o'clock Central Time. You can listen to it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the television broadcast on Fox Sports Kansas City Plus, and on the Fox Sports Go app. Before we get into that game, though, Carter, what about Gianluca Busio? 16 years old, becomes the youngest player to make his debut for Sporting Kansas City. I think it was a good situation for him, down 3-1, maybe a little less pressure in that situation. But I don't know, outside of maybe coming up with a goal or something, that he could have done much more. He seemed well, you tell me what you thought of him. You were down there on the sideline for it.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he was bright. It didn't look like he was intimidated by the moment at all. And I think it was, like you said, a really just a perfect situation for him to come in at 3-1 down, chasing the game. And with all the injuries, you looked at the bench, and there wasn't an obvious guy to come on at that point. So I think for him to come on without any pressure, really, in terms of a result on the game, that was a positive. And he played a little bit like that. He played freely. Talking to him after the game, he was obviously ecstatic to make his debut, but I was impressed by how well-spoken he was. And he also made the point to me, without me asking, that he thought it showed the team as a collective, that it showed the fight that they have to get that goal at the end there and give themselves a chance at the end of the game. So I was impressed by that off-the-field stuff as well, but really exciting time for him, obviously.
Going to give a little plug to the fact that I taped a Drive Time episode with Gianluca this week, and I think they're going to turn it around pretty quickly, and you're going to want to watch that. I think it's interesting. Just talking to him about things like going to driver's ed. He just got his driver's license 2 months ago. He's allowed to drive himself to practice now.
Yeah.
As a professional soccer player, he was going to driver's ed after practice on a weekly basis for a while there. And other things that we've spent a lot of time delving into his hair. I don't know how much of that will make the episode. They got to trim it down, but you'll want to watch it.
Got to trim it down.
Man, no pun intended, but pun executed anyway. All right, let's talk about this game coming up. You mentioned the fact that there's history between these two teams already this year. Sporting Kansas City, what's it going to take to get a result down in Houston, Texas?
I feel like right now, with the way things have been going for them and the fact that they've played this team twice in the space of about a month or so, like, it's going to come down to it. This sounds, going back to your shout of the in-depth analysis that we can provide on here, but it's going to come down to these one-on-one individual battles in this game, because I just don't feel like either coach is going to make too drastic of a change. Maybe they'll prove me wrong here, but Sporting won the first one here in Kansas City. Houston won the Open Cup game, and I just feel like it's going to come down to these guys know how to play in their systems. Who's gonna come out on top in these one-on-one duels?
Yeah, the Dynamo are not in much of a better run of form right now than Sporting Kansas City are. Just 2 wins in their last 10 games, and those 2 wins against the two bottom teams in the Western Conference, or two of the bottom teams in the Western Conference. And they both came at home, though, and we know that Houston's a very difficult place to play. So it'll be interesting to see what Sporting Kansas City have for them. Another injury I'd mentioned, Johnny Russell was not really participating in practice today. He was jogging on the side on his own. Doesn't mean he can't be ready by Saturday. It's still very early in the week. We saw Aiko Parra kind of doing the same thing, and he was able to work his back into the starting rotation. But we also saw that Gerso stepped in and scored a goal for him last time. I thought he played really well.
I thought he was probably the best player on the field for Sporting Kansas City last week against FC Dallas. Maybe his best game all season, Gerso. And that's a big boost for them because, like you said, Russell got hurt late in the week last week. So Gerso wouldn't have thought he would have been starting all week. And so for him to come in and play like that, that was impressive. And got to talk to him a little bit about just a chat he had with Felipe Gutierrez. Maybe tune in to the game on Saturday, and we'll definitely be talking a little bit more about that.
Carter Augustine will be on the sidelines in sweltering BBVA Compass Stadium on Saturday night for that game. So make sure you tune in. Again, Sports Radio 810, 8 o'clock. Also, Fox Sports Kansas City Plus and the Fox Sports Go app, SKC against the Houston Dynamo. Our thanks to Elie for joining us today. For Carter Augustine, this is Nate Bucchetti saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on the Sporting Kansas City Show.